You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. This week, episode 53, we're remembering the game Maximum Freaking Carnage for the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis, I suppose. I figured I'd try to be a professional, somewhat of a efficient businessman with the podcast this week, and make it a topical game, considering that Spider-Man Far From Home releases tonight, I think, in theaters. I'm recording this on July 2nd, and I know I have a ticket to go see it tonight after my comedy show. And I'm very, very excited. I'm not the world's biggest comic book guy, but I fucking love Spider-Man and Venom. I actually like Venom a little more, but you'll hear more about that during the podcast when we geek out. This is a Super Nintendo game and a Sega game. Everyone that I knew played it on the Super Nintendo with that distinct red cartridge, but that was just because, you know, I only hung out with the cool kids, not the Sega nerds. There it is. That's my that's my shot of the day. Came out on both. Pretty good beat 'em up. Hard as fuck. I've never beaten it. I've never even come close to beating it. But lots of people played it. So if you're listening to this, hopefully you played it as a kid. And we're gonna talk more about that in a minute. I got a few things to get to first. You guys know how this works. I had a wedding this past weekend. It was Canada Day weekend here in Canada. So we had a long weekend, and my girlfriend's been on holidays for the week, and we have pretty conflicting schedules. She works all day and I work at night with comedy. So I kind of spent some time at home and got to hang out with her a little bit, which was rad. And then my best friend got married on Saturday. I got to be part of that, him and his phenomenal wife. So congratulations to you guys. It was hella fun. And then it was my girlfriend's birthday yesterday for Canada Day. So we had a few drinks for that as well. And then to top it all, so I've been hungover for like 2 days. And then to top it all off, last night I accidentally, and I swear this was true, this is an accident, I accidentally ate two weed chocolates last night. My girlfriend got a box of candies for her birthday and opened them and ate one. And I didn't realize that they were edibles and crushed a couple. And then I was just sitting on the couch after she'd gone to bed playing video games. And all of a sudden I started feeling a little funky. And I basically just sat on the couch playing Tetris 99 in like a Zen state for like 2 hours with these candies flowing through me. So I'm still a little groggy, still hungover, but I'm trying. So I hope the energy is there. Hopefully this doesn't suck any more than they normally do, because it has been a rough, albeit hilariously fun weekend. Patreon deadline passed a couple of days ago for June, so the July rewards are good to go. Thank all of you so much that signed up for that thing. We made $98, which I know some people are going to probably laugh at, but I am blown away that people were willing to pay $98 for this podcast. So thank you all so much. I will be doing a giveaway video this week to give away a gift card to the online service of your choice to those that subscribed to the Patreon. You're entered into the draw. You'll also be getting two bonus episodes that'll be dropping on the second and fourth Monday of the month. So next Monday, July 8th, you will be getting a bonus episode just for Patreons about Cuphead. And then on July 22nd, you'll be getting a Q&A episode. Which will be me answering questions from you and providing you with whatever you want, you know, as far as if there's a topic you want me to talk about, anything like that. I already have some questions and topics submitted, but if you're listening to this, especially if you're a Patreon, because you're the ones that are going to get to listen to the podcast, please submit questions or topics. If there's anything you want me to touch on, I promise I'll get to all of them. Like, I don't care how long it takes me. I will get to every single one. And if no one submits anything, then I just have to talk about whatever I want to talk about. And maybe that's what you want to listen to. But if you have questions or topics, suggestions for video games, life, comedy, anything you want, submit them via Patreon or on social media. Find us at Twitter and Instagram at MemberTheGame, just like Remember without the RE at the front. Or again, through Patreon, you can message me on there. I've messaged everybody that has so signed up on there so far. Thank you all so much for that. And your episodes will be coming, and I hope that they come smoothly and I don't fuck it all up. With that said, I want to give some shout outs to my Patreons for June. So I'm going to try to get through all these without butchering too many names. So thank all you guys so much. So quick shout outs to Tyler, to Taco Shirt Chris, to Todd. I'm going to butcher your last name so horribly. Otlar, Todd, Toddy. I'm sorry, buddy. I tried. So shout out to Todd, to Sharonic, a.k.a. Beak, former Canadian heavyweight champion, to Ben, to Patrick J. Crossman. Shout out to Nick, a.k.a. Nichol, to Mitch C., who is the, not that this is a competition at all, but Mitch C. really went over and above with their contribution amount. And thank you so much completely to all of you. But just, yeah, thanks a lot. Michael Mathis, to Mark McHugh, Luke Simpson, Casey, a.k.a. Freezer Burnt, who tried to bump his the total up to get it to 100. And then we had one incident with someone where it didn't come through. But still, Casey, thanks a lot. To Josh from the PS2J podcast. They're a technology-centric podcast recorded right here in Edmonton. Very big supporters of this show. Josh, thank you so much. Check out that podcast, you guys. PS2J, press start to join. To Joe Buck, to Jeffrey Mathis, to Dave, congratulations, my friend, to Daniel Brooks, to Chris, Bradley McHugh, Benjamin Barlow, Andre, and Alejandro, Nostas, I probably fucked a couple of your names up. Those were all the people that supported the show on Patreon in June. Thank you all so much. Bonus episodes of the podcast are coming. If you're interested in your getting a shout out and getting some episodes of the show, it's not too late. $2 a month is all it takes. You'll get a shout out, you'll get two extra episodes, and you'll get entered into a draw to win 25% of our Patreon at the end of every month. Go to patreon.com/rememberthegame for info on that. And thank you all so much for getting involved in the in our Patreon. Completely mind-blowing to me that anyone is interested in supporting the show. Also, we're going to be giving away a Sega Genesis Mini. I said if I got to $100 by the end of August, I would. We're at 98 right now, so I feel confident. I do have a second Sega Genesis Mini pre-ordered, and I'll be doing the draw for that, as opposed to the 25% gift card. I plan on giving away the Sega Genesis Mini next month. So I'll be shooting that video sometime in August for that. All right? So, yeah, thank you all. Trying to give away as much of it as I can. Also, one more quick shout-out to Portugeek, Kilo14, and their YouTube show, The Restroom. They gave our podcast a nice shout-out the other day. So thank you guys so much. Check them out, The Restroom, on YouTube. That's all my shout-outs. Okay, so if you thanks, all of you. Again, one more time, thank you all so, so much. Couple quick things I want to talk about before I get too far into this. I'm looking to record some GameCube gameplay on my capture card, but my capture card only works on HDMI, and my GameCube is like the component cables, like the red, white, yellow. I don't know the technical term for them. So I am looking into getting an adapter, and I'm just, there's some really expensive ones out there that apparently do a good job. I'm cheap. So I'm looking for options. So if you know anything about that kind of stuff, if you have a suggestion on a particular converter or anything, please let me know in comments, messaging somewhere, whatever, because I want to record some GameCube gameplay for reviews and for Let's Plays. Down the road, I got a couple games on there I want to Let's Play. Speaking of the Let's Plays, I'm sticking with my video every day. We're almost done Donkey Kong Country. We've already finished Super Mario World. I've got a couple more. I've got Bart versus the Space Mutants done on the NES, recorded and ready to go. And I'm working on Metal Gear Solid, which is a little bit trickier because it's a very slow game, obviously. And the main hook, it seems, from Super Mario World and Donkey Kong Country were the deaths of me and then my freaking out about the deaths. I don't know if we're going to get as many of those in Metal Gear Solid. But frankly, like if I'm not going to enjoy doing the Let's Plays, then there's no reason to do them. And it's a game that I've wanted to play. I don't get a ton of views on them right now. Thank you all that are watching it, but I get that they're not everybody's thing. So that's coming. And then like I said, Bart versus the Space Mutants is done as well. It's a great excuse to go back and play these old games. And it's a lot of fun, but like, fuck, they're so frustrating. I forgot, like, just NES games, you know, where it was like, hey, when you're out of lives, you start all over again. You know what I mean? Same as like Super Nintendo and Sega, those old games. I'm telling you, current games have made us soft with the constant checkpoints and endless lives and endless continues and stuff like that. And I totally admit it. Like, I am old and soft, you know, and I prefer that. I'm not the young, sick bastard I was as a kid that would grind through these fucking games for 30 or 40 hours to figure out how to beat them. But I mean, those old games, I think they had to make them that hard to give you the replay value or the length play value. You know, if you could beat a game in an hour and put it away, then no one would spend the $60 or $70 on the fucking new games. It's been fun playing these old games. That's what I'm trying to say. Fuck, this podcast sucks. It's been fun. They're just so fucking hard, man. Bard versus the Space Mutants can kiss my ass. I used to be so good at it as a kid, and it was like, I clearly just had no options, no friends, no lives, and no other games, so I'd play it. As I said too, it is July 2nd as I record this, and Nintendo has not announced what the online games, coming to their online service for July are going to be yet. Every month we get 3 or 4 new NES games, and, they haven't announced any yet, and they're running out of good NES games. Like, I mean, If you have a Switch and you have access to the online service, like, there's a lot of great NES games on there. There's also a ton of shitty NES games. And I can't think of a ton more NES games that haven't been released yet that they should release, because the Contras are available now. The Mega Mans are all available. The Castlevanias are all available in compilation packages. All the Mario, Zelda, Punch-Out, all the heavy hitters are on there. I know some people are calling for Mother, like the original Earthbound, which would be cool. I would probably play through it on my Switch. Outside of that, I can't think of too many more NES games that we need. Like, so where I'm trying to go with this is, I know I've brought up here 100 times, I want Super Nintendo games on my fucking Nintendo Switch. Nintendo's year-long memberships that we all signed up for last year are up right away. Their online service, the yearly fee to get online. And people have been complaining about these NES games for months. And if there was a time for Nintendo to drop Super Nintendo, I think it's coming. They're out of NES games to release. Online memberships are due for renewal right away. Everyone wants Super Nintendo, so come out like a month before people's online memberships start expiring and being like, oh, by the way, now you get a couple of Super Nintendo games with it. I think that's all it would take to get people to sign back up. I rant about it almost every week, but like, motherfuck, it makes me angry that Nintendo has got, I'm not even questionably, the greatest retro gaming backlog, back catalog in the history of the business, and they're just sitting on it, and it's like, we'll pay you for it again, give it to us, Nintendo. Mario Maker 2 came out this week too, and everyone I know that is playing it except for me, and I haven't picked it up just because I've got too much money going into games in July already, and I don't know how much time I put into Mario Maker 2, but I do want it. I love Mario, and 2D Mario is where it's at. So if you're playing Mario Maker 2, enjoy and know that I'm jealous of you right now. Particularly Ben, Chris, and Mark, because I know all three of you fuckers are playing it right now and I'm not. What am I playing? Primarily, well, that's a nice little segue. primarily Wargroove. I've been playing it. I've talked about it on here for a couple weeks now. It's a tactical strategy game on the Switch. It is, and I think it's on Steam and stuff too. Apparently very Advanced Wars-ish. It is hella fun, but it is so fucking hard. I have to get 3 stars in every level. That's just the way I play games, except for Cuphead. I couldn't do it. I gave up on that. Trying to get a perfect run on it. Trying to get a perfect run on Wargroove, but I'm stuck on a level right now that I just can't beat, period. Much less get it, like, you to 3-star it, you have to beat a level, like, within a certain number of turns. And I can't even beat this level, period, much less in a certain number of turns. But it's fun. I keep coming back to it. You know, I get angry, and then I'll come back and give it another shot. So it's really rad. Check it out. If you have a Switch and you're into tactical games, it's cheap. Hella fun. I've also been playing Tetris 99 again. Again, last night on those candies, I literally just put, like, a Joe Rogan podcast on my phone, and just, I could barely remember what they were talking about, and just completely spaced out. And I won a couple and kept finishing. Top five, I can get into 4 out of 5 games. I'll finish in the top 5. And then it's going so fast, and one little mistake and you're completely fucked. Or if everyone teams up on you, you're completely fucked. But it's so much fun. Tetris 99. I would keep paying for Nintendo Online every year just to get access to Tetris 99 because I love it that much. I have started playing Metal Gear Solid. Like I said, I hope it translates into a good, let's play. If anything, nobody will watch the Let's Play series, but it'll make for a refreshed memory and a good episode of the show down the road. And I'm still playing a couple other NES games that I'm working on review videos for as well. So if you're interested in that stuff, check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rememberthegame. You'll find Let's Plays, game reviews, podcasts, all that good stuff there. I'm leaving for Ontario in a couple of weeks. It'll be 2 weeks this Friday. I leave for Ontario for a 3-week run at the comedy clubs out there. I'll be at Absolute Comedy in Toronto, Ottawa, and Kingston. So if you're around those cities, please come and say hi. I'm definitely going to have enough episodes of the podcast recorded. I can record the intros and outros on the road and then edit them together. That's fine. The Let's Play videos might struggle for the 5 of you that watch them. I am going to try to get enough in the bank that I can upload one every day. It just may not happen. I can't take all my capture equipment, my microphones, everything on the road with me. So I'm going to give it a shot. Just heads up. I may be missing a few days in there, but the podcast, you won't miss a thing. I promise. Unless, you know, my computer explodes or something, in which case I'll just quit video games and the internet and life as a whole. Otherwise I'll be there, your podcasts are coming. That's what I'm trying to say. Good enough. 15 minutes. I'll shut the fuck up. Let's get to the game this week. We are talking Maximum Carnage for the Super Nintendo and the Sega Magus Drive, Genesis, whatever the fuck their 8 abominations are called. I don't know comics, but I know these. I know Maximum Carnage, Spider-Man, Venom, and Carnage are probably my 3 favorite comic book characters of all time. If you never played these games, they're beat-em-ups. You control Spider-Man and Venom, who are former enemies who are now teaming up to take on Carnage, who is like a stronger version of Venom, who I guess in a way is like a stronger Spider-Man, blah, 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 blah. We'll explain all that shit when we get into the podcast this week. Solid beat-em-up, great characters, hard as fuck. I'm going to cue the music. My pal Tyler is back on the show. The movie Spider-Man Far From Home comes out this weekend, so I figured let's talk a little bit of Spider-Man. We are talking Maximum Carnage that originally released in North America on September 16th, 1994, 25 years ago. Check it out, you guys. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of the podcast. Kick back, relax. Let's talk Maximum Carnage. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
All right, joined today by friend, longtime supporter of the podcast, longer time coworker slash friend, and lesser time new baby daddy.
Yeah,
my buddy Tyler. How are you, bud?
Doing really good. How are you doing?
I'm great. How's this isn't a personal podcast, but I'll ask because it's polite. How's fatherhood?
Within the first probably 5 hours of having Finn back home at my house from the birth center, I drew a mustache on him with eyeliner and immediately lost privilege of being alone with him.
I love it. I've tagged him on Instagram. I'll tag him again when this episode goes live. If you guys haven't seen, like, Tyler's mustache is like the stuff of legend. It's fucking beautiful.
And I can curl it now too.
Yeah, you have a little bit of the Waluigi going on now. It's fucking, I wish I could do that. Like, yeah. I can't do it.
You just need to work at it.
I have a stubble beard, and this is weeks.
Yeah. Your girlfriend walks in, and you're just gently petting your lip. What are you doing?
She would leave me. I think that you had to impregnate your wife to get her to stick around with that mustache.
I had to grow the beard first. And then she came home, and it was just the mustache left. And I was like, that's all you get now.
Yeah, she's stuck now. That's well done. Okay, well, now that we've done that, let's talk about this week's game. This is one of those ones I think everybody has played. I think very few have beaten it. I know I sure have never beaten it. But now, right as we went to sit down and we were prepping for this, you said that you have.
I didn't beat it. I got to the end.
Okay.
You get like some end credits and then you have to fight Carnage again. And I never had enough lives to beat him.
As I've already said in the intro, as you guys will know from the music, the intro, the picture, the title of this week's episode, blah, blah, blah. We are talking Maximum Carnage. I'm talking Super Nintendo yourself.
Yeah.
Although I think that they're the same, because I think it came out on the Sega Genesis too.
I'm not sure if it might have.
I don't know. As you guys know, I do know homework. I'm a Nintendo fanboy. If it did come out on Sega, it probably sucked. Yeah. Sega sucks.
I think it must have come out on that.
Probably did. It's dude, I love this game. Like, okay. So like, first of all, I think, you know, like, I don't know comic books super well, but I kind of know them.
Yeah. I know lots of indie comics, so then just by being in a comic shop, you leaf through. Like,
sure.
So I don't know the Spider-Man comics. Like, I know the Maximum Carnage game is based on a comic series.
Yeah.
And did it translate well? No.
No, well, kind of. Like
the
so...
The gameplay was really fun.
Yeah.
I don't know how often you beat up the same henchman named Mike, but I would say it is a ridiculous amount. They only had like four henchmen names.
Yeah, that's one of the comments I had written down to talk about, was how I love that they named, like, there. Here's Tommy. You're beating up Tommy again. Also Tommy. And it's the same looking guy.
There's seven people in New York, and you are beating up all seven of them.
Over and over and over. Yeah. So I haven't read a ton of comic books. I never really was into collecting comics. Deep dark secret from my past. It's I know I shit on Sega on here all the time, but actually the only comics I ever collected at any length of time were the Sonic the Hedgehog comics, and I had like most of the first 50 issues. I got to about 60, and then I just stopped reading them. Sold.
People
them for,
couldn't
like,
see me shaking my head in shame.
He's shaking his head in shame. They were good comics, and I like Knuckles a lot, so I stuck by it for Knuckles. But so I haven't read a ton of comics, but I did follow Maximum Carnage, and I did used to own like the graphic, not like the anthology novel,
yeah,
whatever,
sweet.
It is of comics, you know.
Yeah.
But I recently sold it because I'd read it like 1,000 times. The game, actually, like, the story of Maximum Carnage translates to the game fairly well. It's like, obviously there's little things they change and stuff.
Well,
like
and
that
just
but
the, the game, the way the writing was, like they didn't do a panel by panel. I don't know. It just seemed really, right. really janky.
Well, it was just like, what can we do to get him to the next level type thing, right?
I think when I was 10, I was like, oh, I got it. But as an adult and trying to be like,
Sure.
Like, so that wasn't very fluid.
Like, clearly they were like, hey, well, I mean, because like the whole Maximum Carnage comic, and like, listen, you guys, I always preemphasize this and say that like, hey, if you're passionate about this game and I get something wrong, feel free to yell at me. Mm-hmm. Well, I know comic book nerds are even more passionate than video game nerds, and some of them are fans of both. So if I fuck this up, let me have it at AdamBlank17 at Member the Game. Like,
just,
let me
just
fucking
let him
have
it anyway.
Yeah, let me have Make it anyway. Stuff up. But the core concept behind Maximum Carnage is Venom had like blew up and got crazy popular, mm-hmm. right? Which he's because Venom's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. He's my favorite.
Became
character
the
ever.
Anti-hero. Was no longer just the villain
he's
at
rad.
This point, right?
And so he had moved to San Francisco to become the Lethal Protector in San Francisco, and then Carnage, who had been arrested, escapes Ravencroft, I think it's called, the prison, because the Carnage symbiote is actually in his blood.
Yeah.
And so when they draw blood from him, they let it out. And so he turns into Carnage, he breaks out. And he ends up like building this team of like supervillains. And then Venom finds out that Carnage has gotten loose, and Venom feels an obligation to stop Carnage because he feels like it's on him because he created Carnage.
Right.
And Venom kills people, but Venom only kills bad people, whereas Carnage kills everybody.
Right.
So Venom comes back, gets horribly overpowered by Carnage and friends, and then seeks out Spider-Man, and they call a temporary truce, and then hence you get the whole idea of the Spider-Man-Venom team-up.
Yeah.
Versus Carnage, which I adore. I think that's like the coolest. I wanted that in a movie my entire life. And it's like, and with Venom, Carnage, the new, we're not going to get into that anyway. Maybe someday they'll do it.
I hope so.
God, I hope so.
With the new Spider-Man, like the way the franchise is being set up,
I mean,
it would be mint.
Oh, I hope so. And so basically that's what this game is you control Venom and Spider-Man, and you're out to stop Carnage and friends. And there's other superheroes that show up and help Venom and Carnage, or pardon me, Venom and Spider-Man. And there's other villains that show up and help Carnage and Shriek and Doppelganger and those guys.
Yeah. And those are the main three: Shriek, Doppelganger,
and Venom.
And Venom.
Or pardon me, and Carnage, yeah. Fair. And the like and so and like and I forgot about this until I was like writing my notes down for this episode. I was like, most of the I think all the villains and all the heroes from the comic book show up, plus, like, which is really rad. Yeah. You don't play as all of them, but they all show up, and you can like find little icons to like call them in to help you.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. You get Captain America to throw, Black mm-hmm. Cat shows up, Iron Fist, like. Which and again, I didn't read the comics, so when I was a kid, I had no idea who any of these people were, where I'm going, man, like, who the, you know, I had no idea. Like, Cloak and Dagger.
Right, yeah.
I still honestly don't know who Cloak
and Dagger
are.
I know them from this particular series of comic books, and that's it. But yeah, so like, the comic book series was crazy popular, Venom was crazy popular, Carnage was popular, and obviously, I don't even know who built this, who made this game, I don't do that much homework, but who?
It was produced by Activision. I don't know who the main developer is.
Okay.
Maybe Raven something, or I can't remember, but so, Green Jelly did the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And that was,
yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah.
So obviously they were like, hey, let's cash in on this whole Carnage thing. And so they made it into a video game. And it's basically a side scroll and beat 'em up, like so many of those old games, which I will say, like, and I mean, we'll get more into this in a minute, but like, I feel like if there's a genre that hasn't aged as well as I want it to have from the old days to now, it's beat 'em ups.
Yeah.
They just get, I find, okay, this is me, and I'll ask you, like, I get bored. Like, just walking left to right, punch.
Or even, like, side-scrolling shooters, I don't feel like have aged well either.
No.
Even when you have ones that are groundbreaking, like, I think it's called Cuphead. Have you ever
seen it? Yeah, oh, dude, Cuphead is fucking incredible.
Right? Like, looks amazing?
Yeah.
I play for an hour, and I'm just, all right.
Oh, dude, I guarantee my pal Chris is listening to this, and he just drove off the road, and he's going for your house right now.
I admittedly need multiplayer.
Sure.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Okay.
Please don't come after me.
See, Cuphead held my attention because of the incredible difficulty level. But like, especially when you talk retro beat-em-ups, like when I think of beat-em-ups, I think of Ninja Turtles, of course, right?
Yeah.
I think of, I think of this game. You know, I think of Double Dragon.
Yeah.
And the thing, Battletoads, and to me, the thing is like, it needs to have a hook to keep me interested, because otherwise I get bored after a while. Yeah. And like, the Ninja Turtles games, for the most part, have that hook, because I love the Ninja Turtles so much.
Well, and the levels are oftentimes very unique in the Ninja Turtle games, and there's just a nice progression. Like, you don't ever get a lull where you feel like it's the just, you know,
Right.
You're just repetitively doing the same thing.
Right. Whereas with Maximum Carnage, I'm like, it holds my attention because I'm so passionate about the subject matter, because I like my favorite not just superhero, but my favorite comic book character ever is Venom. Mm-hmm. The original Eddie Brock Venom.
Yeah.
And I love Spider-Man and I really like Carnage and I'm like, this is so cool. Having said that, like, and this game, like, I think they at least make an effort to make it a little deeper than just punch, kick, jump.
Well, they have the level where you're climbing up the wall.
Right. They put in certain things. They add the web mechanics.
Yeah.
You know, and because this game is hard as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Hard as fuck.
If you don't know where the extra lives are, where the secret rooms are, you can't. Like, I couldn't, as a kid, get past the first, like, maybe 30 minutes.
No, me neither. I can't get by. Okay, now here's the thing. I didn't know, because I've never really looked up a strategy guide for this game or anything. I would play it as a kid. I play it now. I didn't know idea there were secret rooms till about an hour ago.
Yeah.
When I was like doing my homework for this episode. And I was like, oh my God. Well, that fucking totally makes sense, because you get worked in this game, man.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the things I really enjoy about this game is that they really do, like, there's some strategic elements to it. You know, like, I mean, when you're playing, I mean, Spider-Man and Venom handle pretty similar.
Yeah.
Venom's
better, though.
Venom is better because he's Venom, you know, and like, but like,
he has a longer reach too.
Yeah,
he's,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if he actually has a longer reach. I always found that I was able to hit people better with Venom and not get worked over as much.
But like, you can do things like, I'm just speaking as Spider-Man, but Venom does them all too. Like, you can use your web as like a shield and defend, and you can shoot web at someone, tie them. So, because like, they send swarms of fucking Dannys and Tommies and Mikes at you, like swarms of them.
So many Mikes
in
New York.
And so, like, you have no choice but to, like, I'll web one up to keep them out of the way and then turn my attention to another one and beat the shit out of them. Yep. And you can get right between two of them and shoot the web out both sides and pull them into each other.
Well, and as Venom, you can pick them up and throw them. I think you could do that as Spider-Man too.
Yeah, I think he can too. But they handle very similar. Yeah, they're just like,
But that was the key.
Right.
Pick one up, throw them at the other guy.
Because if it had literally just been, like, A jumps and B punches type thing, like, it I think that this game would have gotten panned fucking, because this game's pretty popular, you know, right. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's Venom and Spider-Man, but part of it has to do with, like, at least there's, like, you kind of feel like Spider-Man and Venom, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to just running and punching.
Well, and it's the toe in the water for one of the first Spider-Man games that I think was good, right?
Oh, yeah, like, totally, totally.
Before that, I mean, I think there was, like, an Atari Spider-Man game, and then there was a couple, like, early versions of Spider-Man where it's like a 2D scroller
and they're just shit.
Yeah, junk.
Yeah,
this one was like good.
At times you feel like Spider-Man. Yeah.
And then there was, like, I think Avengers Arcade had Spider-Man or something like that. There was another Spider-Man on the arcade where I can't remember that one. I'm not going to even go into that.
Okay. he's perfect for video games, but you have to get him right.
Yeah.
And this was, like you said, that's a good point. This is like one of the first ones that kind of does, you know. Cool. And you have to master these fucking web moves, because, like, I'll tell you, like, I played it the other day, like, in preparation for this, and, like, you go running in, and I would just go running in, punching and kicking, and, like, you get fucking worked.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
if two guys start hitting you, you get just, you get hit locked.
Dude, right? Yeah. And they swarm you.
Yeah.
And they fucking, so the citizens are like, okay, because that's one of the things that, like, I didn't really think about till I was prepping for this. Here we go. I'm starting to get wound up now. The people attack you. Like, the citizens of New York, like, they look kind of like gangsters. Like, they have knives and shit like that. But what happened in the comic books was, like, Carnage was, like, something like fucking with everyone's heads and, like, making them go crazy and making them angry or something. And that's why everyone's attacking, because everyone's just mad and angry.
I don't know if they cover that in the game.
No, I don't think they do. But that is why everyone's attacking.
So then just this guy named, you know, Theodore with an umbrella comes attacking. You're like, oh, he doesn't look like a skeezy gangbanger. What the fuck?
Like, and obviously they have to, like, fill the levels with them, because that's what beat 'em ups are all about. And you got to fill the you can't just have them walking and waiting, right?
Yeah.
But it just is so, like, if it wasn't Spider-Man and Venom, I would hate this game, because it's too fucking hard. And listen, if you're sitting there being like, well, get good, fuck you, play Maximum Carnage.
Is hard. It's really hard.
It's so fucking hard.
And, like, you basically can't lose any lives to the citizens, because when you go fight Carnage, his one attack chunks your health by half. Like, you need all of your lives to fight Carnage.
Right. And the thing about it, and this is one of the notes I made, is, I would have liked to have seen one of two things, because, like you said, especially the boss fights, and, like, I never even got to Carnage in this fucking game, I don't think. No, I got to the roof where you fight Doppelganger and Shriek a few times.
Yeah, that's the first. And then when you beat Doppelganger and Shriek on that first rooftop, I think you fight Carnage.
Oh, maybe you do. Because, like, I don't know. I never got far enough. I can't. Like, even right now, like, I was playing the other day, and I couldn't even get by this. Like, I fucking suck.
Yeah. Well, and, like, when you beat them, you fight Carnage, and you basically, that's every boss fight in the game.
Right. Carnage keeps showing up. Yeah.
With Doppelganger and... I forget what the Green Goblin looking motherfucker is who just like floats around.
Oh, yeah. The dead guy. Someone's fucking yelling at us. It starts with like a K.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. No, but he's, but the thing is like I like the fact that they've made Carnage and the bosses so strong because in the comics, like part of the reason Spider-Man and Venom have to work together is because Carnage is stronger than them.
Yeah.
But what I would have liked to have seen, I mean, first and foremost, I would have liked to have seen two player. I'm boggled that it's not like, I get that like certain levels don't work for it. Like it starts out with Venom in San Francisco and stuff like that. But like you could have made it work. Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You could.
And I don't think there was a lot of co-op. There wasn't like a co-op Spider-Man game before, like,
no,
not that this was a co-op one, but like this had the opportunity for it.
It set the table. And like everyone knows, like all the best beat 'em ups, like, I mean, Double Dragon, Ninja Turtles, all the ones we already rambled off, with the exception of maybe a Battletoads, because Battletoads two player just gets even worse. That fucking, oh God, it's hard. But most beat 'em ups, like River City Ransom, for God's sake.
Yeah,
like
on the NES. That was a great one.
Most beat 'em ups are designed to play with two people. It's more fun. And this game, like you just took two characters that are both fucking awesome. Yeah. You could have made them handle a little bit more differently than they do, but whatever, that's nitpicking. How is it not two player? That boggles my mind. Okay, because the whole point of the game is these two guys that are not as strong as the villain team up to take down the villain,
and so, at no point do you get to use both of them.
Right, like, and
later in the game when you can switch, because you can switch back and forth, like like how you have the tokens to bring Captain America in, or the Iron Fist or Black Cap. You can switch back and forth between Venom and Spider-Man, but at no point can you use both of them. Like, you can't summon Venom to come help you kick
ass. And that, like, and that really, like, and that's one of my biggest criticisms that I wrote down, is I was like, even if for whatever reason they decided not to make it two-player, which is whatever, how is it not that whichever guy you decide to control, the other one isn't just there as an AI partner? Yeah. Like, tell me how much more fair and manageable those boss fights against Carnage and friends would be if the computer was controlling the other one and all he had to do was attack. And like, if you die, then he dies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just give me some help. Like, in the whole, like, to me, it's my absolute biggest criticism of this game. If you take away the multiplayer thing, which is a huge criticism, how is it not an AI controlled partner? That's the whole theme of the fucking game.
Yeah.
Really chaps my ass. Like, I know exactly what we're talking about because I saw it when I was getting ready for this podcast today, because I never got that far. Like, the scenes were like they're fighting Carnage, like, in the fucking woods or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's
like
pretty much the last level.
Right, okay. So, like, it's Spider-Man and Venom standing there, and then Carnage comes up out of the water, and he jumps over to get ready to fight.
That's
Spider-Man,
the last level.
Okay.
That's after the credits, and Venom's, like, you know, cussing out Spider-Man, being like, man, I could have killed him. You fucked it up.
Yeah.
And then Carnage shows up. And
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/rememberthegame.
Okay. So then you go to fight him as Spider-Man, and Venom just takes off, like, watching the screen. And I was like, how does that make any sense?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be... He's like, oh, fuck this. Now he's mad. Like, it's... Get the fuck
out of
here.
You're on your own, Spidey.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it just really chaps my ass. It's my biggest criticism. I've always felt like that with the Ninja Turtle games, too. I get that you can't have all four of them on the screen, especially on, like, the NES and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, to me, even if it's an option, make it an option. But how is there not the opportunity to have a computer-controlled... partner.
Yeah.
It really just fucking...
Unless you're Raph, then...
Yeah, because like, no one wants to work with Raph because he's an asshole.
No, he didn't want to work with any of them.
Oh, fuck off.
He's the best.
It really, really fucking bothered me. Like, that's... I have it here, my notes, like, highlighted and everything. Chap my ass. So...
In capital letters. Ass chap.
Ass is chapped. But now that I've shit on that, I still like it. And like, and mm-hmm. that's the thing. And again, I do think part of it is because of Spider-Man and Venom, but it's not a terrible beat-em-up. It's the difficulty... At least makes you think, like, again, like, to me, one of the biggest problems with beat-em-ups is that you just get bored, like, just walking left to right, punch, punch, punch.
Yeah.
And in this one, it really does keep you on your... It still gets old and repetitive, I think.
But you can web-sling, you can jump on the wall. Like, yeah. They had mechanics that weren't... That are exclusive to, like, a Spider-Man-style game that kind of keeps it a little bit more fresh than, you know...
Yeah. Yeah, they add enough additional mechanics to it to at least keep you on your toes. And you have to be on your toes. Like, you have to be paying attention and web-slinging guys and tying guys up and stuff like that. Because if you don't, they'll get you cornered and they'll beat the fuck out of you. Or those, and like, and there's other things, and this is just like little things that I'm going to complain about. But like, when the women enemies, the female enemies come in the first level and they're whipping you with their hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, and they fuck you up.
The Valley Girls?
Yeah, yeah, the Valley Girls. But I'm like, he's goddamn Spider-Man. And they're hitting him with hair, like... Give him the fucking, give her like a fucking pipe or something. Like,
and one punch from Spider-Man would cripple these women.
Yes, it like, would cripple anybody.
It would cripple Mike.
Like, yeah.
There's hundreds of Mike.
All the Mikes. Oh, just like, and I get, you know, why they have to put that shit in there. But I always found that funny. And I always found it funny that like Spider-Man's supposed to be like the super noble, I won't kill anyone, blah, 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 blah. And he is beating, like, he's putting these women in the hospital for the rest of their lives because they're hitting him with their hair. And I always thought that was pretty funny.
Well, now they know. Don't fuck with the Spider-Man.
Yeah, don't fuck with the Spider-Man. But it's, I don't know, man. I like it. I like the music a lot. I think the music to this game is fucking rad. Like you said, what's that?
Green Jelly? Yeah. And I never really listened to them except for in this game, but right. I knew who they were.
See, I didn't. And then I was reading about the other day and found it like, oh, fuck, they actually went out and got like a band to do the music for this game. And that's pretty fucking cool, man. Like they didn't, I'll give them all the credit in the world. I'm sitting here shitting on it for being too hard and how there's not two players, stuff like that. But like so many of these games based on popular movies or franchises and stuff, just mail it in and create these shit games. So many.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that with this one. No, I don't think they did.
The Superman games are a really good example of super shitty right. mailed in games. Well, where all you want is a good Superman game, you'll never get it.
Well, it's because Superman fucking sucks.
Right, because he can hold a sun exploding in his hand.
I hate him so much. They should make a Superman game where you control Lex Luthor and the whole object of the game is to kill Superman. But no, they don't mail this one in. Like, they try to put enough gameplay mechanics in to make it different. You get the wall climbing and shit like that. They really try to stick close to the original subject material, which is cool. For all, like, again, you could sit here and shit on the lack of multiplayer and stuff like that, but at least it's, I don't feel like they ripped anybody off. They didn't mail it in on this one. They actually tried to put out a game that you would want to play. That is, like, it's pretty beloved. Like, I guarantee you, if you look up a list of a lot of the, like, best beat-em-ups of all time, this game's going to show up.
Yeah.
And for a game that nobody can beat that isn't multiplayer to show up on those lists is pretty admirable.
Well, and I like it's similar to like Legend of Zelda or Chrono Trigger, where I didn't know a person who didn't have Maximum Carnage. Like, you know, you had anybody who had an SNES, like everybody had, you know, kind of those Turtles in Time, mm-hmm. Maximum Carnage, Super Mario World.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the staples, right?
Yeah.
And like that red cart. That's something that always stuck out to me too, is that red cartridge.
Yeah,
I always
yeah.
thought that was so cool. Like that, it was the same as who had black Killer Instinct mm-hmm. had a black cartridge.
That was on the N64 though, right?
No, there was a Super Nintendo one.
Was there?
I can't remember if it was black on the Super Nintendo.
Maybe it was just on the Super Nintendo.
I want to say Doom was red for the Super Nintendo. I don't know. It doesn't. Anyway,
I had Doom on the computer. That's where, that's where I diverged.
Like
a
the point just being that like I always got a real kick out of like the. I'm glad that they didn't do it a ton because I think it would have killed the novelty of it. But I always got a kick out of like
a colored cartridge.
The colored cartridges, right? And Maximum Carnage always stood out to me. Like when you'd see it in someone's collection, or you like even now, now you go to the flea market or anywhere that sells old video games, and you look at the like the you know when they like fan out the Super Nintendo games where they're stacked kind of on top of each other, and that one just pops because of that bright red. Cartridge color, you know, and it's fucking
because it's the unbeatable game.
It's the unbeatable game. It, it's a it's.
I'm just all your listeners are like, I can't believe these two didn't beat it. I beat it in an hour. And a half.
Fuck you if you did. Fuck you. I you know what the thing? Oh yeah, that's another thing I put here. Like, because I like it's funny that you were talking about how everyone owned, I didn't own it. I had a friend that owned it. And I would play with them all the time. I didn't own it. If I had owned it, I think as a kid, I would have had the patience to play it over and over and over and because there's no passwords or anything. You have it continues, I think, but that's it. Like,
like over, you start over. From the beginning every time.
And like, which was the case with so many of those fucking games, right? In the 90s and the 80s and stuff. And like, as a kid, when you only owned so many games, then you put in the repetition. Like, I've beaten Bart versus the Space Mutants without any, like, Game Genie or nothing, and I probably could do it now after a little bit of repetition. Just, even though it's hard and it sucks, because it was all I owned, so I fucking played it over and over. And as a kid, I would have done that with this game, I think. As an adult now, maybe I've been softened by games today and checkpoints and save states and stuff, and that's probably what a lot of it is, but I just do not have the time or the patience to fucking play through the same game over and over and over again to try to beat it.
Hour and a half. That's all you need.
Oh, fuck you. You're good, maybe. Like, I'm sure I'll fire it up again one more time here after recording this just for the sake of playing it, and I'll get my ass kicked again.
And then just throw it out the window.
And you fuck. It's good, though. Oh, yeah. And the one thing I wanted to talk about that I didn't bring up yet is I think it looks great.
Yeah, like actually was one of the I thought one of the best looking Spider-Man games up to that. Yeah. One of the best like graphically SNES games.
Mm-hmm.
I think Spawn looked similar. Like Spawn had a similar side scrolling and kind of look, but like a very stylized comic book game where they really took from the artwork of the comic and tried to make it work. They didn't, you know, do, you know, like in Legends of Zelda, you know, the characters a little, you know, miniature version, and it's like a an avatar of what you would think an actual adventurer looks like. This looks like Spider-Man. You don't have to like, oh, you know,
totally.
I don't have to pretend what Spider-Man looks
like. Like all the characters, like you can tell who they are, right? Yeah, and I really was like, I hate to give credit to Sega, but like if there's one thing I would always give the Sega Genesis is that I always adored the way Genesis games looked. They just always so bright, and you know what I mean? Like, and I, as a Super Nintendo guy, like, it pains me to admit, but they were just so bright and colorful. They just looked like they popped. Like, they almost look like you're playing cartoons so much. And this one, to me, looks like a Sega game on a Super Nintendo. Like, it, and I'm, again, I don't know, maybe it came out. I think it came out for the Sega Genesis, but it doesn't even matter.
It did. I'm 90%
me too. But, like, it looks great. It's so bright and colorful, which, like, in a dark game featuring a main antagonist who's basically red, and one of the main protagonists is basically black or like dark blue.
Yeah.
They black find blue. A way to make them look both. They like everyone looks bright and colorful and cool and,
you know, defined without a lot of definition.
Totally.
Like, it's not like the graphics were, you know, something that would blow your mind, but they were just enough.
Right? Yeah. It's dude, this game's fucking weird because it looks great. It plays well. It sounds nice. The story's good, but it's too fucking hard. Like I half of me hates it and half of me loves it at the same time.
Yeah. I think like at the time I probably thought it was the best Spider-Man game I'd ever played. Then I went back and played it and was like, oh, every other Spider-Man game that I played after that came out after was better.
Sure. So. Yeah. Spider-Man. I think now that people like, this is even before the PS4 Spider-Man came out. I'm talking like when like Spider-Man 2,
well, even and like Activision's first Spider-Man.
The one we covered. Go back to our archive. It's one of the old episodes, Spider-Man on the PlayStation 1. I think that's probably the one that started it. Once people started figuring out how Spider-Man worked in 3D, I think that, and I prefer 2D games for the most part. I like side-scrolling 2D games. But Spider-Man, I think, is just too versatile a character to keep locked into 2D. Like he can do too much, you know?
Yeah, just the agility alone with the web slinging. Like once you have that mechanic and like an open world concept, the game takes off in such an awesome direction.
Yeah. Having said that, I think this game does as good as anybody could do with 2D Spider-Man.
I think it got people pumped about a Spider-Man game because they saw what they could do. Like, it's the toe, you know, dipping the toe in before Activision's Spider-Man game came out, where that was them diving in.
Yeah. Did you play Separation Anxiety, the sequel?
No.
No, I have it on my SNES Classic that has been tweaked, but I haven't. I honestly have never fired it up. I should fire it up. Mm-hmm. I was apparently it's pretty good, but the one I always think of is Maximum Carnage, just because it's Maximum Carnage.
What and was Separation Anxiety on Super Nintendo as well?
Yeah, it was just like I think probably at that point, like the Super Nintendo was kind of
done
on its last legs type thing. There's always so many of those games I just get forgotten about. As soon as the Nintendo, I think it was the Ultra 64 they were calling it, but as soon as the 64 got announced. Yeah. Then it's like everyone just forgets about, you know what I mean? Like, and it sucks because sometimes some classic games get forgotten about. Oh, that felt good. I was so excited to go on a rant about how there's no goddamn two player in that game. And it really bothers me. Tyler, before we score this thing and seal and deal it, have you got any other thoughts on Maximum Carnage?
Carnage is so fucking hard. Just dial it back. Like, oh my goodness.
I'm a little, yeah. Like
his... He hits you once and half your health's gone. It's like, oh, okay.
Like, which again, like I know, and trust me, I know comic book nerds listening to this right now yelling at the computer. I know, or whatever they are. I know that Carnage is that strong and that he's stronger. I get it. But like, then where the fuck is your partner? There should be two against one. That's how it makes it fair. Fuck. All right. Tyler, what would you give Maximum Carnage? On a scale of 1 to 10.
If it was last week, I would have been like, oh, it's a 10. It's the perfect Spider-Man game. But after playing through again, I'd say like a 7.5. Just it's hard. It is a side scroll. Like, I'm going to go with an 8. I'm just going to say, based on when I played it as a kid, I loved it. It was the Spider-Man game that led me into more Spider-Man games. Like, if I hadn't played that, I wouldn't have given a crap about Spider-Man games.
Fair enough. I'll go with a 7. And back in the day, I probably would have given it like a 9 because I thought it was awesome and Spider-Man's the coolest and Venom. But it's a 7. It's a beat-em-up. And frankly, it's not the best beat-em-up of the on the system or of the generation. I would listen to an argument that's not even a top 3 beat-em-up from that generation, but it's still really good.
I don't know about that. I was just saying Green Jelly did do the soundtrack.
Yeah. if you're just talking like the 16-bit, like to me, Turtles in Time, everyone agrees is the definitive beat-em-up, right? This is a personal preference. I would put Battletoads and Battle Maniacs ahead of it because I love Battletoads.
I never had that, and so I'd always play it. I'd go to like a kid's house that I didn't like to play it.
Right. It's a preference. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's third. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, like, someone's fucking yelling at this computer right now to fucking say that, no, you forgot about fucking blah, blah, blah.
What about maybe third.
Yeah, Clay Fighters, fuck off. That's fuck off. That's a fighting game. It's not even a beat-em-up, it's shit.
But wasn't there one, it was where you were like Claymate, not Clay Fighters, you're like a piece of clay and you roll around and would turn into things.
That's Claymates, but Claymates. That one wasn't a... That one was more like platformy. I owned that. That game sucked. I have that. My brother and I played the shit out of that game. I think my mom got it in like a... I'm going to end this thing right away. But there was one year for Christmas where my brother and I got like... I'll never forget. We got like 6 brand new Super Nintendo games one Christmas. Which is
super expensive back in the day. Dude, we had never... That would have like made Christmas for generations.
Blew our minds. Yeah. But like when I think about it now, we got Claymates, we got this like weird puzzle building game, we got Dennis the Menace. Like Super Mario RPG was like the big one, and then we got a bunch of like duds.
That's a great
Mario game. RPG is beautiful, right? Yeah. But I think what happened was they probably went to like Zellers and there was a bunch on like clearance, and so they were just like, oh, Adam and Josh are fucking addicts, junkies. They don't give a fuck. Like they don't, just give them games. And so we got Claymates, and Claymates fucking sucked. But that's Claymates. This was Maximum Carnage. Tyler, thanks for coming over and doing this.
Yeah.
Congratulations again on the new Bobby.
Yeah.
And we're going to literally end this and then go talk about more superheroes right away that we'll be launching after this one. So I feel confident saying that. So
It's better than Endgame.
What is?
the next one we're going to talk about better than Endgame.
Oh,
better than Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
Way better.
So, Tyler, you can find him online at...
you can find me in the town of Mournville.
Yeah.
Ranting on the corner with no one listening.
I love it. Yeah, just like everybody else in Mournville. thanks for doing this, buddy.
Yeah.
That is going to do it for this week's episode, you guys. Tyler, thank you so much for coming over and talking Maximum Carnage with me. And to all of you, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, please consider supporting us on our Patreon, patreon.com/rememberthegame. $2 a month is all we ask. Or if you don't have the $2, you don't want to do Patreon, just leave us a good review somewhere on iTunes or whatever. Anything you guys can do to support the show means the world to me. We recently passed the 8,000 download threshold, which is mind-blowing to me considering we're just over 50 episodes in. My goal is to hit 20,000 by episode 100. So I got to pick it up by about 35-40%, which I think is possible. We're going to keep working at it. I just, if you're listening to the show, thank you so much. Whether you support us on Patreon, whether you leave us reviews, whether you literally just download and listen to the show every week, I really do appreciate it. It means a lot to me that it means a lot to you. And we're going to keep this thing going. We got some great episodes coming up, and I will be back in 7 days with another one of them. So in the meantime, go play some video games. Go see Spider-Man Far From Home. I hope it doesn't suck. And I will talk to you guys again in a week. Take it easy. Cheers.